Kevin, Kelly Moore from CJOB. Just, I guess, when you take a look at all the business that you've done over the course of the last couple of weeks, do you feel satisfied that you're able to accomplish close of your pre-negotiation goals?
Well, Kelly, it's something that obviously since the season ended, we've had lots of internal meetings, lots of internal discussions about where to take the direction of the team and what needed to be done, in order to continue to grow what has grown over the last couple of years, and how do we continue to take it to the next level. And so certainly there's lots of things that have transpired. The deals, the deal at the draft itself, the acquisition of Devin Setoguchi on free agency day. And then obviously knowing what we had in front of us with respect to, the players that were entering into the free agent period, some of them UFAs, some of them RFAs, obviously some closer to, some of the RFAs closer to unrestricted free agency, which, again, each and every contract, as I talked about before, it takes on, different nuances. Every player, has, a different, it's always a different take with respect to each and every player. But we're very, very thankful that, we've gotten through the process. My staff has worked extremely hard, and at a methodical pace to make sure that, we were able to get the type of deals on term and money that that we're comfortable with.
The last three deals in particular for Little, Wheeler, and Bogosian, Kevin, maybe just take us through, what was the formula for arriving at the numbers that you did?
Well, again, everyone, every deal is different. Certainly age of players certainly does come into play a little bit in respect to the different amounts of terms. Obviously, the closeness to unrestricted free agency, the number of years of unrestricted free agency that you are trying to buy, with respect to these players. I think that's the really the key in the whole thing here for us, is that every one of the of the last three players that that we did sign, all essentially sold multiple years of unrestricted free agency. And I know that July 5th everyone was waiting for us to make big splashes and try and sign players to unrestricted free agent contracts that would take, terms of 5, 6, and 7 years, or in some cases maybe four. But, we knew that we had some players here that we wanted to get on term, and that this was going to be a time that was going to happen later in the summer as it has right now.
Chevy, Gary Lawless from the Free Press and TSN 1290. You've locked up these players. Tim Campbell pointed out in the weekend, you've got 11 locked up for the next three seasons, third most in the NHL between Philadelphia, Nashville, and Detroit. The next step for this group is to win, obviously, and you've put your faith in them by locking them up. And how close are they, do you think, to taking that next step and, A, being a playoff team, and then B, being a contender?
Well, I think you first have to evaluate where your group is. You have to show faith in them. You have to try and show some consistency from an ownership group, from an organization that you have a plan in mind, that you're sticking to it, that you're not changing directions in midstream. Certainly it's interesting because you mentioned a number of players that we have locked up, and if you go back into the archives, going into the summer, I think everyone was talking about, oh my goodness, they have the least amount of players locked up, in the National Hockey League. So again, all these things take time. I know that when five players filed for arbitration, everyone was wondering, well, my goodness, what's going on here? But again, there's processes, and there's the business side of the National Hockey League that does take time, a lot of these players have options with respect to Blake Wheeler and with respect to Brian Little. They're both 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. They could have I certainly said thank you very much for the 1 year arbitration deal or the 1 year settlement deal, and I'll take my chances in free agency. Zach Bogosian was only 2 years away, so You know, this league, things creep up on you pretty quickly with respect to unrestricted free agency, and certainly for players that enter the league at younger ages. So if you look at the age of the players that we have signed here over the course of the summer, they're all within, you know, relatively the same age demographic. You know, I had a great conversation with Zach Bogosian today, and we talked about, you know, the group of guys that we have here. And you know, the first words out of his mouth weren't so much about his deal, but it was like, I was so happy that you got, you know, Wheels and Litz signed. You know, so that's the kind of things that, you know, again, we need to, you know, need to have within this group. And now we need to keep growing. We need to keep pushing. We need younger guys that, you know, that maybe we have drafted. You know, hopefully it is their time now to start coming into our organization and start pushing. And, you know, we have not seen the results yet of Devin Setoguchi and Michael Frolik. But I do know that, again, when we did acquire them, I felt that improved our hockey team. So how close are we? You know, I don't know. You know, obviously you got to play the game on the ice. I do know something that, you know, again, you know, ownership has shown a commitment to the city, and ownership has shown, you know, that they're willing to invest in the long-term success and the long-term future of this franchise. Again, it has to start somewhere, and this is a good starting point.
Kevin, Ken Weeb at the Winnipeg Sun here. You said on the day that you were hired that Zach was going to be a cornerstone defenseman for this franchise. What are the elements of his game that make him that, and what are the things that he needs to improve on to take his game to the next level?
Well, Zach is still a very young young player when it comes to defenseman age. There's lots of room, you know, for his game to grow, and I think that's the exciting aspect. You know, we have Zach locked up for, you know, what are the best years of a defenseman's a career. You know, the defensemen start coming into their own, you know, right, you know, during the, I guess, essentially the unrestricted free agency years, you know, that are in Zach's contract. So I like the relationship that Zach has with Charlie Huddy. I like the, you know, the work ethic that Zach has. I like the honest, you know, honest person and commitment and just a down-home, you know, kind of guy that he is. And I see these guys, you know, how they prepare for games. I see how much they care. I see how much they put into it. And you know, Zach is someone that, you know, we wanted to show our faith in, and we know that, you know, as he continues to grow in a defenseman, his role and his leadership and all aspects of his game are going to help this team to get to the next level.
Kevin, go ahead.
Sorry, guys, can someone repeat that?
Sorry, could you see Jack as a Norris Trophy candidate somewhere down the road?
Oh, you know, again, those are individual accolades that I think every player certainly, you know, aspires to. But I think if you, you know, the way that those things are achieved is through team success. And I think even if you asked him that question, he'd probably say all he's worried about is helping the team to get better. But, you know, again, he is someone that I really believe there's a tremendous amount of untapped potential that, you know, as he continues to mature as a player, you know, is going to blossom. He's, you know, his skating ability, his shot, his size, you know, his work ethic, his you know, his physical strength. Again, he's a young defenseman that again, is, you know, for us, just going to continue to grow.
Kevin, Andrew Patterson from TSN 1290 and Hustler Wallace. My question for you is, now, I mean, we knew that the signing of the restricted free agents of the Winnipeg Jets had to be one of, if not the biggest thing on your to-do list and the main priority for the team. Now that that part is done, what is next on your to-do list? And do you see adding any more players, possibly some free agents that are still out there with the remaining cap space of just over $2 million that you have left?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a little bit of a quiet period right now for the National Hockey League for anyone other than the players or the teams that have guys that are going to arbitration. It's a little bit of a downtime. I think things will, you know, from the conversation standpoint amongst other general managers later in August, will certainly start picking up. You'll start seeing to see if there's some opportunities maybe to, you know, have a trade or two or a tweak or two, you know. So, again, you know, when you have at least, you know, your core locked up, a lot of players that, you know, you're going to be moving forward with, you can now start looking and seeing, you know, where are the little holes that maybe I can, you know, try and improve upon or try and look at. But, you know, again, there are some, you know, some other things that we, you know, we do need to start attending to. We've got, you know, a couple of players from this past draft that, you know, we do need to sign to entry-level deals that will be turning pro this year. There's some other, you know, entry-level players that we'll be, you know, discussing some contracts with as well that, you know, will probably end up remaining in juniors. So those are things that, you know, again, we've really put, you know, the time and the focus of our energy, you know, into each and every one of the arbitration deals. Like, you know, to put things into perspective, you know, obviously I know people, you know, there was a lot of arbitration cases. We had a majority of them. And I don't know, I think there was maybe one other time that I can remember where one single team had as many guys going to arbitration. And I think it's where our team is at with respect to, you know, the age of the players and when, you know, the contracts that they were coming out of, that they all had, you know, arbitration rights. So it was a very, very busy summer. You know, again, my staff, you know, worked extremely, extremely hard, great lines of communication with ownership along the way. And you know, again, I think, if you know, the fans of Winnipeg, you know, should know that, you know, again, Mark Chipman, David Thompson, you know, certainly, you know, we're willing to, you know, to do what it took to make sure that we could keep this core together.
Kevin, Kelly Moore from CJOB again. With respect to that, I think you're probably about $5 or $6 million over now at $62 million from where you were before. So where does that extra revenue come from?
Well, you know, again, I think that, you know, that's something that I guess you probably have to dig a little bit deeper into, you know, the business model and seeing exactly where, you know, where all the revenue streams are. But, you know, again, it is something that from an ownership perspective is a strong commitment to them. One thing that they, you know, have, you know, talked about, and Mark Chipman's been very open about it, is this, you know, they're going to reinvest whatever they can back into the organization, be it, you know, be it in the player's salaries, player payroll, be it in development, and also in the fan experience. You know, I know that there's tremendous plans on the horizon over the course of time here for capital improvements to, you know, to the building, to the different things that, you know, again, that the ownership has made, you know, the long-term commitment to the fans, that not only are we going to do our most, the most we possibly can to try and put the best team on the ice, but to try and create the best fan experience as well for you know, the passionate fans that that do come and watch us play, and certainly even for the ones that that can only get there for a period of time, they want to make sure that that experience is great.
Kevin, Gary Lawless back here again. You went to, there's a bit of a gamble when you're trying to get the best deal for the team and you have that deadline of arbitration and a hearing. Were you ever concerned with any of those big three that you might have, you know, kind of pushed things too far in trying to get what you thought was best for the organization and you might get caught and have to go to a hearing? Or did you always think you had enough leeway with the negotiation and with the agent that you could still get a deal done the way you did?
Well, we always, you know, maintained, like, there was always great lines of communication with all the respective, you know, free agents that had arbitration rights. And all five of them, you know, again, you know, given the timing, you kind of, it's an interesting thing because, you know, you don't get the schedule of how the arbitrations, you know, come into play until, you know, only a little while before they actually start. So, you know, it does seem like a little bit of a slow process, you know, to think, well, why aren't they getting them signed? Why aren't they getting them signed? But then, you know, once you get the schedule, then everything kind of lines itself up and you know, you start, you know, acting accordingly. And, you know, sure, there was times where we had our flights booked to Toronto and ready to go, and hotels, you know, booked and at the ready. But, you know, that's because you have to plan for everything. And even though the communications, you know, ultimately led to good results, it is a business process. And there's, you know, there's lots of things even in the course of time of coming to an agreement that, you know, we've agreed to disagree on. And you know, that's all part of negotiations. But, you know, one thing that was always, you know, very evident that if we could strike the right deal, that these players wanted to commit to Winnipeg.
Kevin, Gabriel Gosselin, Radio-Canada. You've had a really busy offseason. I was wondering, as a group, considering the pieces that you've added and getting the key players signed that you had targeted, as a group, what's your evaluation of the offseason so far for the franchise?
Well, you know what? It's the offseason evaluation is always, something that, again, there's lots of work, as you had mentioned. You do your best to work the plan, as you lay it out, and to work at the things that are given to you, and some of the different challenges that do get put in front of you. And the real evaluation process starts when you drop the puck, and no awards and no trophies or no wins or losses happen in June, July, August, and September. It's really truly when the puck drops and as you continue to play throughout the season that's the evaluations that really matter. So, again, we're not sitting here trying to say, this is great, this is great. This is the process. This is the process that we planned out and we worked hard at, trying to get the stability. Very exciting that, the conversations with the different players and the different representatives in that, the positive, vibes of the players about wanting to commit to the Winnipeg Jets and to what we have going in this direction.
But you must be happy. You really reached a few of your goals that you had set out at the end of the season, did you not?
Well, for sure. We, one of the things that we did set out to do beyond the signing of the RFAs that we did have and obviously that everybody knew coming up was trying to gain some depth within the organization on the right side to hopefully enhance the scoring side of things. And with Devin Sedoguchi and Michael Frolik, we're very hopeful that we've done that. And for us the real exciting thing now is to see how some of the younger guys like Mark Scheifele and Jacob Trouba can try and push and make some difficult decisions for us, moving forward with the way the roster continues to evolve.
Kevin, just to go back to the revenue streams and that sort of thing, Kelly Moore from OB calling again. Should fans be concerned that because of this commitment, and it's a fairly hefty one? Should they be concerned that season ticket prices and single game ticket prices will be included in this commitment in terms of an increase in those two areas?
Well, I think that from that kind of perspective, certainly as an organization, we have a commitment to try and put the best possible team on the ice. I think that from a season ticket standpoint, a lot of the season tickets are contractually in place, we're not in this to try and it's not trying to push up the ante for anybody in those regards. Let's face it, the National Hockey League is an expensive proposition, but there's probably better people that can within the organization that can answer those kind of questions. But I think what the fans need to understand is that what is being, what is being brought in is being spent, and those are kind of things that from an organization standpoint, the reinvestment in the product, in the enhancement of the fan experience, in the overall sustainability of this team and building this team moving forward. That's the commitment that the ownership has put in place, when an ownership group views development of a franchise, development of young players as an investment to the future as opposed to an expense, those are things that should bode well for the long term sustainability of this franchise.
Chevy, we had Blake Wheeler on our show just a few minutes ago, and he talked a little bit about Dustin Byfuglien, and he said that he's really excited to see him in camp, and he thinks that he said, "I'm glad he's on my team this year." And then he went on and he said he's going to be a big time player for us this year. If he can take his game to a higher level, what kind of an impact can that have on your team?
Well, I think impact is the right word there, Gary, is that, Dustin can be an impact player. He is an impact player. And, you know, the magnitude of his impact, is probably, still not truly known by anybody. And, he's a veteran player in this league now. He's accomplished a tremendous amount, from being named an all-star to receiving, Norris Trophy votes. Dustin is someone that, there's a lot of untapped potential there. Like any player, like any piece of your organization, you work hard to try and maximize that. And as a group, we are. Professional athletes, have talent and have ability, and they're special people because they can play a sport, at an extremely high level. So, if Dustin's potential can grow, and it makes me excited to hear the excitement in Blake's comments, with respect to that, because there's a lot of things that have gone on in this organization in a short 2-year span. We relocated the whole team, essentially traded the whole team from Atlanta to Winnipeg. The lockout shortened season was certainly an interesting one for everyone. Fans, media, players, management included, and we are really, really excited about the opportunity to start training camp on time, to start with players that are locked up with a clear direction in mind, and hopefully a bright outlook for the future.
We didn't get to ask you about all of your players being invited to different Olympic camps. You were too busy with signing them, and we understand that. What does this say for the organization that I think 8 of your players have been named to orientation lists? What's that say about the potential of your core?
Well, first of all, I'm very, very proud it's a tremendous honor for all those individuals that have been recognized, at the orientation camp, levels for each of their respective countries. And it is a great honor to be considered, as a potential Olympian. And I think from our standpoint, the evaluation period for these players in a lot of instances is going to be the beginning of the year. So from that aspect of it, I'm excited because I do know that, from the ones that I've had the opportunities to speak with and others I just maybe texted back and forth with, that there is a real excitement about the opportunity to represent their countries. And I would love nothing better than to have a little friendly camaraderie jousting going on in the room, with respect to, if there is guys that will be actually representing different countries, moving forward. Because it's those kind of things, it's those kind of opportunities to have common interests and common bonds that I think really, really help a team grow.
Kevin, just going back.
As a person, maybe better than, well, certainly better than we do. And he wasn't named to Canada's shortlist, and I think injury had a lot to do with that. We've discussed this on this program a bunch of times. How do you think, it's not a snub, but let's face it, he's not on the list. How do you think that will affect him? Could that be a motivating factor for him? Because he's not on the list, but Steve Yzerman still has to have his eye on Evander Kane.
Yeah, it is interesting because, the list is... It's not an all-inclusive list. I think if you really look at past teams and how past teams have maybe been formed, it is about building a team. It's not just an all-star team. It's a team that is going to compete in a short tournament and a team that, that is going to, achieve the ultimate goal. And I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of the different representatives of the different countries that we have players that were potentials, and certainly I've talked at great length to Steve Yzerman as well as other people on the advisory board about Andrew and about Evander Kane, and And I think it is a tremendous motivating factor for Evander, but I do not believe it is a snub, because I believe that, you know, from a standpoint of a young player, like Evander, he can turn heads in a matter of seconds. He takes people out of their seats with his speed and how he plays. And this is just an orientation period. The actual evaluation period will begin when the puck drops in October. And they're going to take the team, regardless of who came to the orientation camp, they're going to take a team that they think they can win with.